All right, good afternoon, everyone. So good to see you here this afternoon. Why don't you turn to your seatmates and tell them, I'm so glad you're here this afternoon. That's good. For those of you who came in for the first time, I'm Kenneth. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm the discipleship pastor of Victory Dumaguete. And we are now on the third installment of our 10-week series called 10. And we're basically going to talk about the third commandment this afternoon. Now, before we go on to the message, I just want to give you an update of what's happening in our movement this month. So just last week, we just had our Bismin Leaders Convergence held in Cebu City, and we had 19 Victory churches from all over Visayas and Mindanao who participated in this event. And we also sent 29 of our student leaders here to join the Bismin Convergence. We have here some pictures of the convergence. You see the enjoyment that they have as they join the convergence. We believe that they had a great time engaging with other leaders in our churches in Visayas and Mindanao. And we also believe that they are charged up and so encouraged to disciple the next generation, the campuses in our city. Omang, you are blessed with what God is doing in our city and in our campuses. Come on. And also, we have one of our faithful leaders in Victory Dipolog. Al, can you just stand to be recognized? Al is one of our faithful volunteers as well when he was still a student here in Victory Dumaguete. He's one of our faithful ushers who regularly helped us clean our tavern way back in our old center that's in Tavern. So we were together basically with Al. So we had a great time serving God in this church and in this ministry. So before we go on further, last week, Pastor Archie had a powerful message regarding the second commandment, dealing with the idols that we have. Who among you were blessed with that word that Pastor Archie had shared? So if you were not here last Sunday, you can check out our website. You can listen to the podcast and hear the message from Pastor Archie. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, and it says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who take his name in vain." Now, the third commandment was given by God to the Israelites with Moses. Now, the Israelites' time, they had so much respect and fear of the commandments of God and the name of God that they don't even want to write the name of God if wala sila nakaligo and if wala sila nakailis. And after they have written the word of God, they would again take a bath and change their clothes. That's how they revere the name of God. In the Jewish culture as well, because of that fear and respect for the word of God, they don't want to tear down any belongings that they have with the name of God written on it. And the only thing that they can do is to bury or ilubong nila sa yuta ang belongings nila with the name of God in it. That's why in our modern day time, historians and archaeologists, dili kayo sila maglisod recovering biblical artifacts because it's just buried down in one place. That's how the Jews and the Israelites have feared and revered the name of God in their time. And in our time, how do we revere God's name? How do we deal with God's name? And I have here some pictures of basically vandals of the name of God written in the walls, in the doors. Basically, we've had the freedom to use the name of God in anything, in everywhere, whether it's meaningless or useful things that we are doing. So that's just a contrast of how the Israelites and our modern day generation deal with the name of God. What does the word of God says regarding his name? Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. It says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Now, three words that I would want to highlight here. The words take, name, and vain. Now, let's first look at the word vain. What does vain really mean? In the Hebrew, the word vain is the word shav, which means emptiness of speech, vanity or meaningless, falsehood, lying, deceptive, useless. If we use it in the verse, the original verse, it would sound like this: you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in meaningless, useless conversations or everyday dealings of your life, of our life. That's the word vain. Now, let's look at the word name. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, it says, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold." No, good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Why is that? I found here, while I was studying this one, I found some of our rather ridiculous names in our present generation. One of those is this one, cash register. Who among you have friends whose name is cash register? So another one is this one. This is rather the most ridiculous thing that I've found. Bizo Dudu Zibidi Bop Bop Bop. Who among you would want to have a name like that? Zibidi Bop Bop Bop. And the last one here, Donald Duck. Would you want to have a name that is Donald Duck, named after a cartoon character? In our generation, the name has been misused. A name has been misused. And I plead with you parents that when you name your child, please don't name them thoughtlessly. Please consider the name that you are going to give to your child. It's because it speaks of their destiny. It speaks of their identity. Names are very important. Names are very powerful to a person. And to God, name is everything. The Hebrew word for name is Shem, and it basically refers to fame, honor, authority, power, character, or reputation, or of a person. So you see, the name of a person speaks of who the person is. Our name speaks of who we are. Now, I remember my elementary days. My name is Kenneth, and my good friends way back in elementary would add another word to my name. They would basically add An to my name. That would give it Kenneth An. And they would add another word, Basurahan, Kinit An sa Basurahan. So I don't know how I did deal with all of those bullying in my elementary years. But basically, our name speaks a lot of things about us. To God, it speaks of everything. Now, let's take a look at some of the names of God. It says, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. And Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. Whatever things that we need, God has a name for it. We can call out God's name in every situation that we are in. Where you are, God has another name, Jehovah Shammah. And that means the Lord is there. Wherever you are in your situation, you can call God because God is there. You can talk to God. You can call out the name of God because He is there. And we are talking about the old name or the Old Testament name of God. How about the New Testament name? The name of Jesus. Where is Jesus in this name? Now, Jesus in the Old Testament is Joshua. In Aramaic, it's Joshua. And Joshua basically means Yahweh plus salvation. So if you would put it together, Jesus would basically mean Yahweh saves. Jesus is our Savior. The name Jesus speaks of what He does for us. Jesus is our Messiah. Jesus saves. The name that God have speaks of who He is, His nature, His being, His person, as well as His teachings and His doctrines. Our name, the name of God, speaks of who He is in our lives. The name of God also is referring to His holiness, His might, His power. Now, God's name is a venerable name. That is, it is sacred. It is holy, worthy of respect and reverence. How we deal with God's name would speak to our relationship with Him. Whether we honor Him or we blaspheme Him, how we handle the name of God would speak to how we relate to God. Now, the name of God isn't just there for us to revere to see as holy, but the name of God speaks. God reveals His name for us to be able to have a closer, a more intimate relationship with Him. Do you ever wonder when we have new friends? Basically, when we have new friends, we don't call them first by their names. But the closer we get to know them, we tend to call them by their first name. In my own experience, my friends, some of the people who know me, they call me Bahar, my family name. But those people who have a closer relationship with me, they call me by my first name. They call me Kenneth or Kin. That's because we had a more intimate relationship with each other. The same way with God. How we deal with God would speak of our intimacy with Him. How we handle His name in our day-to-day conversations would speak of how He has revealed Himself to us. Now, He reveals Himself to us so that we can know Him better. We can know Him personally. And that's what the name of God is. Let's go first to the third word. It's the word take. Now, the Hebrew word for take is nasa, which comes from a primitive root to lift, which could also be translated as bear or carry. If we translate the original phrase, we can look at it this way. You shall not carry the name of the Lord your God in vain, or you shall not bear the name of the Lord your God in vain. Who among you knows that we are the bearers of Christ's name, God's name in this world? In this city, we are the bearers of Christ's name. When we surrender our life to God, when we receive God, Jesus Christ, as our personal Lord and Savior, we become bearer, we become carriers of His name. It's not just on Sunday that we put on the robe of Christ. It's every day we bring it in and out of church, in and out of our home. We bring the name of Christ with us. It's not just our superficial self that people would see Christ within us. It's inside us. The name of God is inside of us. We are bearers of the name of God. We are carriers of the name of God. Now, it has a lot of weight on it. It has a lot of responsibility carrying the name of God. I have here a few examples of some of the basketball teams that have put on a good reputation because of the members of or the players that it has. So, in a sports team, a reputation of a sports team depends on the behavior of its players. Now, look at this one, the Golden State Warriors. Who among you believes that the GSW will be in the next champions in the coming days? Come on. So, Golden State Warriors didn't just earn a good reputation because of one man. It's a team effort. It's the hard work of the whole team to build up a good reputation for this team. Similarly, another one, the Chicago Bulls. In the 90s, the Chicago Bulls. Chicago Bulls fan. So, 1990s. So, basically, mga 1980s na ni siya, nab-anak. So, Chicago Bulls fan made up a good reputation in the 90s because of Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and Steve Kerr. These people, these players, made up their team a good standing because of what they did, their hard work, their labor. Similarly, it goes the same with us. We ourselves does not just bear our name. As a believers, we bear the name of Christ. We have a much responsibility. Now, the church reputation depends on the lives of the individual members. As a believers, we represent our church. And more than just our church, we represent the God that we serve. How we conduct ourselves outside would determine whether the people would see God in our lives or not. It's not just on Sundays that we put on the robe of Christ. It's every day we are wearing it. The moment we surrender our life to God, the moment we profess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we are bearing that name in us. How we live is how we represent God. The question is whether we are living a life worthy to become bearers or carriers of the name of God or the name of Christ, or otherwise? Are we honoring the name of God in our lives, or are we putting the name of God in vain because of how we live? Now, I know that it's a bit heavy for us or a bit overwhelming for us as believers. I know that there's a lot of weight on our shoulders right now when we claim to become believers of Christ. But more than just overwhelming, it is also very encouraging that when we go out there, people, the example we set will impact the lives of the people around us. Whether we like it or not, when we profess ourselves as Christians, people would tend to look at us. People would tend to listen to the words that we are speaking. People would tend to look at or tend to criticize the things that we are doing. I remember one time when I was just a fresh believer. I was just saved a few months, and then we had an argument with my mom. And basically, this argument is just a normal thing for us in the past. But because I already professed my allegiance to Christ, that He is my Lord and Savior, and He sees that I'm reading my Bible, when we were having that intimate and passionate discussion, and I talked back to her, she said, "Mutubag pa maligi ka. Abi na ako nagbasa ka sa imong Bible." Oh, man. You see, something happens when we become believers of Christ. Whether we like it or not, people would see us differently when we put on the name of Christ. They're going to watch the things we do and the things we say. So in our communities, in our homes, in our school, in our campuses, in our classrooms, how do we bring the name of Christ? Are we bringing the name of God to the people that people would see the loving, caring, just, righteous, and powerful, holy God? Or are they seeing a different God in us? How we conduct ourselves outside would determine how people would look at the God that we are serving. Right now, it's not just the Kenneth that they see, but it's also the Kenneth and the God that I'm serving that they see. How I conduct myself to people would also determine how they would see God in me. At the end of the day, the deciding factor is whether people see an insincere actor putting just a religious show or a flawed human being honestly and sincerely striving with his relationship with God. The most practical application of this commandment is our lives that people see. It's more than just the words that we are speaking, but how we act, how we conduct ourselves to people is very important, as people tend to see and receive more what they see rather than the things that they are hearing from us. So how do we carry on the name of our God? How do we honor the name of our God? We've mentioned that God's name is holy, is sacred, worthy to be praised. So how do we carry on the name of our God in our lives? Basically, it's just two words, love and respect. Love and respect. Let me talk about respect first. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Hallowed means highly to be praised, highly to be respected. Because God is holy, is sacred, His name is worthy of much respect. I was reading the book Love and Respect, and the primary need of a man is respect, and for a woman is love. And who among you knows and would agree with me that a man and a woman represents the character of God? And God is deserving of love and respect. When we respect someone, we put high premium on His name. And as a believers, how do we put high premium and honor to the name of God? First, as a witness to other people. When we share the gospel, when we talk to people, what are they hearing from us? Are we honoring the name of God as we witness to them? Secondly, our lifestyle. As what I was saying a while ago, how we conduct ourselves to people in our everyday dealings. How are we conducting ourselves worthy to become the bearers of Christ? If we say we are believer of God, I receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, I have a relationship with Jesus, but how does it translate to our lifestyle? Is there a change in our lifestyle? Or our families still see the old Kenneth? That there's nothing new. It's still the same. Or does people see the transformation being created in you? When we claim or when we profess ourselves as a believers, something happens in us. It's not just outside, but inside. God is transforming us into the image and likeness of Christ. Does people outside see that in us, that we are transforming into the image and likeness of Christ? How we conduct ourselves outside? How are we conducting ourselves outside? Is it worthy? Is it worthy? Is it respecting the name of God? And before I end, the third commandment, the first four, basically, first four commandment was given by God for us to know how we can love Him, how we can obey Him. It is for us to have a relationship with Him. It's basically for us and to God, our relationship with God. Because God has given us this commandment in the context of relationship. It is our motivation right now is love. We obey God because we love Him. And the only way we can love Him is because we receive love from Him first. God first loved us. Romans 5:8, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. And not just that, we were made and named out of love. Before God created us, there was love. Because God Himself is love. John 10, verse 3, it says, to him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. As believers, are we hearing the voice of God? Are we allowing God to speak into our lives? When we read our Bibles, when we come to learn the standards of God, what do? If it contradicts to our beliefs, what do we do with the standards of God? Would we just ignore it? Or would we obey? It's because this is what God says. I have to lay down my own standards for the standards of God. What do? When God tells us something, would we obey or would we disobey? Love propels us to obey the commandments and the words of God in our lives. Romans 8:17, it says, and if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. God didn't just create us out of love. He also made us His children. Even when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He showed His love for us, even when we don't love Him. He shed His blood for us to know that He is there. He loves us. He wasn't just content of giving us salvation. He welcomes us into His loving arms. He welcomes us as His own children.
I don't know with you, but that's enough motivation for us, I believe, to come, that when we hear His commandments, when we hear His voice, we obey Him. We lay down ourselves, we humble ourselves and obey His commandments. And when it comes to His name, we put high premium and reverence for His name, because He is holy. His name is sacred. His name speaks of who He is and who He is in our lives. God is worthy of our love and respect. I leave you with this thought. We speak and live God's name with love and respect. In our day-to-day dealings, are people around us seeing the love and respect we have for God? Do they see the transformation that God has created in us?